Good to see everybody this morning. It's going to be a great day, I think. We've had great prayer, great insight along the way, and so we're excited. Glad to see, listen, from Canada, from Minnesota, from Michigan, Ohio, anywhere else? Wisconsin, for the Packers, and the whole spiritual warfare over Favre. Who's got Favre? Well, listen, it is great to be here. This is the providence of God coming here. We have a dear couple that kind of arranged every single thing, prayed about it, wanted it, and sought. We're willing just about to go just about anywhere, but Bill and Cindy has done a great job, and so we appreciate them and all they've done. They've done good. And so we'll go anywhere and talk anywhere. If you've listened at all on the radio, you know we do a lot of talking and a lot of speaking. And how many of you hear sometimes on the radio at all? Anybody at all? Okay. The live shows, the others. Okay. And so a lot of the teaching there, you're going to probably hear a little bit of things, you know, here. There's some major things to emphasize. You're going to hear some of the bad news first. And then you'll hear a lot of the good news in the second half today. Is that good? But the bad news has to be heard because in obedience to Ephesians 5 and exposing, you know, that's part of the body of Christ's job in bringing exposure. Because in dealing with that, so many people are walking around. They don't know what happened to them. They're damaged. They're injured. Their lives are broken. And you know, sin is real and Satan is real. We are in the most, the unprecedented ramping up of demonic manifestation ever in history, and we haven't seen anything yet. The battles will be more demonstrative supernaturally. The battles will be absolutely incredible as the days march on. Let me tell you a few things. See, I believe the Antichrist is alive somewhere today, maybe in Europe, wherever else. That means the false prophet is probably alive too. I don't know how many years we have left. Some think five, some think 10. Let's just think 30 years away before the rise of the Antichrist or the apocalypse of Anthropos Anamos, as he's called. And if that is true, then we're talking about Satan in human skin and the eruption of the most unprecedented levels and manifestation of demonic force and power. We're talking about the greatest deception in human history that will lead to the greatest destruction of human life. In less than 7 years, maybe less than four, a third of humanity could be gone if you read Revelation 9 correctly. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, you know, as a pastor for 30 years, you know, we know what it is to, you know, to be there, to see people, to see lives that are destroyed and lives that are broken, but we also know that things have ramped up. We also know that many people are not ready. So the early disciples, they're all gathered around Jesus, of course, right? And so they're all gathered around and they're in the Lord's Supper and they're all fellowshipping with God in human flesh right there in front of them. They have watched the miracles. They've watched Him walk on the water. They've done everything else. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked." Communication goes on behind the scenes. To sift you as wheat, targeting of the disciples. Before they could ever even start in ministry, as Jesus prepared them and got them ready, we're talking about a force that's preemptive, that looks and that observes and is ready to tackle, ready to consume believers. And Jesus said, "But I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail." Now, of course, everything went haywire then, of course, and Peter exhibited that kind of warfare, confusion, agitation, getting, you know, hiding out, afraid, fear, and then even cussing. Listen, if you're a believer and you're going through whatever else and you find yourself cussing, it's probably there's some spiritual warfare somewhere, right? Behind the scenes. Now that's, you know, for you and I to learn warfare, that's the norm. And so throughout this today, and especially the second half, I'm going to talk about, you know, the ground level of discipleship and what we should have been learning all along and what we should be prepared for to be very powerful and very strong and ready to, you know, reach the world, you know, and fight. We've seen this last week in our own culture. There's a battle in the White House, a battle in the Senate. We know there's a battle between the Democrats and the Republicans, and between abortionists and non-abortionists, and babies are hanging in the balance. But it's not just all of that. It's what's behind the scenes. What riled me in the last couple of weeks, and especially Sunday, is the sheer sense of spiritual conflict and ascendancy of the dark side, you know, wanting to grab political rule, little power, and hear about a biblical relation that the political military price of the come from except there is no given, you know, lines of doctrine, their prosperity, we're going to look into the future. When you look at biblical prophetic revelation, you are looking at, you know, kind of like time travel. You're looking into the future in infallible, detailed, accurate descriptions of real human history. Just like the Old Testament to the New. 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah is telling everybody what? That unto us a child will be born. We were told in the Old Testament in Bethlehem that this would be Emmanuel, that there would be somebody among his company that would betray him, Judas, that for 30 pieces of silver, even 1,000 years before Christ came, in Psalm 16 is the announcement of the resurrection of Christ. There are up to 300 prophetic revelations that gives this massive picture of the coming of Messiah. And you wonder how in the world anybody missed it. Massive communication from almost every single writer and prophet in the Old Testament to the New, that God is going to visit. God is coming in human flesh. God, you know, we have this massive picture. And if we look at the Old to the New in the fulfillment, we find infallible, accurate, detailed fulfillments in real history. There was a virgin named Mary, and she did conceive by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a Judas who did reject Christ, and at some point, the scripture says, Satan entered into him, and he went out and betrayed the Son of God. So, when we look at the Old, we not only need to look at all of the New Testament prophecy, too. One-third of the New Testament is prophecy. More than one-third of that is all about the sequence of satanic evolution and all of what Satan is doing. So, we're going to dig right into this. We're going to give you some a kind of a burst here for about 20 minutes of some of the stuff that is really at the forefront that we need to understand. I've been a pastor for 30 years, four separate churches, been involved in evangelism all those years, seen thousands and thousands of people come to Christ, know what it is to see the local church, know what it is to gather churches and battle and do evangelism. We're all about evangelism, but it involves a lot of deliverance now. And because we've done so much of that, everybody sends us. And I think that once you get into doing deliverance, God says, good, I got somebody in the city. Now I'm going to get all the demon-possessed people and send them over to you. And that's what happens. And so our commitment back in the 80s was never turn anybody away. Do whatever it takes. Learn everything you can learn. Go to every conference you can go to. Even people you're like, I don't even know what they're talking about. And I'm not sure what they're into. And, you know, I want to read this. So listen, if you're a believer today, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You've got the Word of God in front of you. So you discern. You might have a couple of things that I'll give you an opinion about that you might say, well, I'm not sure about that. So just mark it off, pray over it, think about it, because there may be a few things that we say that you'll have to think through a little bit and say, I want to check and see if that's correct or not. Like my opinion that the Antichrist has already been born, that I believe there's a counterfeit Mary, a counterfeit spirit to human conception. Not Nephilim in the sense of an angel, a fallen angel, but the fallen cherub himself in this creation of Antichrist. And could it be that Malachi Martin was correct, that a number of years back in St. Paul's in the Vatican, that it actually occurred? We're going to talk about the Vatican a little bit too, because we got people there now listening and downloading materials two doors over from the Vatican. And so We've addressed that. The only problem was when we addressed it, they quit downloading, so we're going to not say anything more. Take your notes if you want to in page one. And by the way, now you're going to see me in the very beginning, especially just pumping stuff out. Raise your hand if you have a question, if I go too fast. The last couple conferences, we did not get done with all the materials. I'm interested in what questions you've come with and what, you know, things that you really need to get down and ask about. So I'm more than, excited to stop and just raise a hand. And good to see everybody. Good to see everybody here. If you need to get water or coffee, I'm sure you can walk back on there, and I might even do that myself along the way. I need also, maybe my daughter can do this. We're supposed to go 50 minutes and stop and give you a couple minutes for restroom and coffee, 50 minutes, and then 50 minutes again. That'll help me with recording this too, and just scream at me. I heard this last couple of weeks, talk show hosts and so forth have been called screamers. So now I'm no longer a preacher, I am a screamer. That's okay with me. You know, if your child ever screams, it gets your attention, you know, usually, and that's a good thing. So if you get the attention, then the content and then action, though, has to go on. I don't want to be just a screamer. What good is just a scream at darkness and do nothing? Screaming at it, you know, it's like the doctor, shut up, don't tell anybody. You know, that's how they are. And so I see that side as very, very real, as I see God, Christ, the Spirit of God, very, very real. We are in a providential meeting today. Most places only give me an hour and a half. When Butch Paul gave me 45 minutes to talk on the Black Awakening and tell everything that 600 and some pages, I was like, Butch, we'll try. And so we tried, and it was like when we spoke there, and there's like 600 people in the audience, and people from Montana, survivalists, all kinds of people down there, okay? So when we got up and did the Black Awakening, it's kind of like a Reader's Digest version, you know, that takes 24 hours to do a conference with the materials we do or course. Well, we had to put it down in 45 minutes. And when we got done with it, I don't know if you've seen the video that somebody put up. By the way, I don't know who – all those videos are not mine. Others have put those up. But somebody put the video up of the 45 minutes on the Black Awakening, and that doesn't show the crowd, though. The crowd was like, the more we got into it, the more the heads were going back, and they were looking, and there was like a sense of astonishment, but also a sense of, you know, this is right. Anybody feel darkness in the air, you know, over America? Anybody feel the sense of catastrophic events coming? You know, non-believing world, occult world, all that world feels it deeply. I used to say millions feel it, but now I'm going to say billions do. Around the world, something's in the air. You can feel it, catastrophic stuff, chaos. The frog in the kettle approach is just about totally over, and this dam that is going to break, this chaos that is a satanic inverted Pentecost, a counterfeit. We've seen the incremental approach, but it's going to be a blasting of untold presence and anarchy and bloodshed. I believe that that is true in what the other side desires. I believe that is true as you see pieces in New Age founders that wrote doctrines, Luciferic doctrine. I think that there's many fields that talk about this. Even WebBot, the technology of the web spiders, you know, getting all the emotional communication from around the world, and it all comes up with saying, well, the globe is speaking, and chaos is coming, and catastrophe is coming. And listen, we know the hope. We know the answer. We know that Christ is coming. We have no question about all this. We'll bring this into the second half. But we cannot, if I can say it this way, not talk about biblical, specific, detailed revelation about the satanic agenda. I don't pull it, even though I read thousands of books and materials from the dark side, no matter what it is, many times very peripherally, because you're reading doctrines of demons, the Dake, actual inspired writings, and you can feel it. You know, just like the Word of God is the infallible, inspired, the living presence of God is in the book. The only book whose author is always present. So there's life and power coming from the Word of God, but the counterfeit, as prophesied by the Spirit of God in Timothy 4:1, is this whole class of seducing spirits that are going to bring writings inspired by, well, they're called the Greeks in Latin, you know, sat there to dice. Maybe it was a plan of spirit. Maybe it was Hasselkrater spoken about in 6. Her spirited, which for hours, as would Helene Blavatsky, hours, dice of syndication, submitting that ground one's solid insight, infallible insight into the sequence. And there is a sense coming. It's things I'm in California, but it's natural, but I'm convinced of prophecy is been little touched on. We've heard about the rapture and the arguments of the timing. And it's an incredible thing. We've looked at the glorification in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, the Greek word atomic. You know, it's the first resurrection, and for believers, you know, being snatched up and changed in the twinkling of an eye, mortal putting on indestructible immortality. God uses the word atomic. In an unsplittable moment, a flash of power, we are changed forever because of the old rugged cross. Wow. And there is nothing that the New Age can offer. They have a cubic zirconium spirituality. God has the diamond. Ladies, which would you rather have? Is there a lady here that would like to have the $9 cubic zirconium instead of the $9,000 diamond? Anybody, raise your hand. I didn't think so. We would have to do deliverance. Revelation 19:19 deals with the last day of human history. I don't know if it'll be the entire day, whether it'll be an hour, or whether it'll be 10 minutes. But Revelation 19:19 brings us massive revelation of the final day of fallen human history. Massive implications, Revelation 19:19. The Antichrist, little horn, Anthropos Anamos, the man of lawlessness. There he is on the field with the false prophet. There is no higher or greater pinnacle of satanic manifestation than the Antichrist and the false prophet operating with this idea of Babylon, of, if you read Revelation 18, sheer, massive, citywide, culture-wide manifestation, the home of every demonic presence, every demon. The manifestation is going to be beyond Daniel's day, with 56 temples in Babylon, with demon gods that they are committed to, and all that was done in Daniel's day. It was a dark city, and one man, Daniel, became the window for God. And so did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They became like windows, because of the laws of engagement. The manifestation of God in the world comes through human redeemed instrumentality. There is no miracle done without redeemed human, you know, lives. Through Moses, come to the New Testament, come to the book of Acts. God manifests by faith into us in salvation, but in our obedience to God, it all gets manifested. No prayer, no answers. No witnessing, no souls get saved. No praying for healing, nobody gets healed. No command with the authority of Christ over demons, no demons are moved. When the church is suppressed and silent, the other side has been given freedom, uncontested freedom in their realm to do their stuff. It is not as though Satan is the same in a sense of 100 years ago, as far as manifest operative power. Everything biblical revelation tells us is that it's incremental, 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 anywhere he can get someone to believe, someone to listen, someone to hear. Is that not how the fall of the human race occurred? The fallen cherub comes. By the way, sometimes I ask at conferences and courses, if you were a journalist and you could sit Satan down in a chair, would you do an interview? Would you talk to him? Would you look at him in the face? What questions would you ask? He was able to pull one-third of the angelic host. Though God stepped in before the battle came here with a scripture, one verse, That's all it was, a word from God. Do not take of that. Because if you do, well, the Hebrew says, in dying, you will die. God gave one verse of Scripture to shield immortal, eternal, God-bearing, the image of God-bearing humanity. One verse is all that they had, we as a human race had to listen to and do. And so when the fallen cherub comes, we see the methodology. And there is an emanating presence because she saw and felt, her emotions were drawn, everything was drawn in, a communication. She even quoted the word of God, right? So he attacks the character of God. He attacks and brings doubt to the word of God. Then he offers a substitute, an alternative doctrine. And that alternative doctrine is what has risen in the New Age movement, among the old Gnostic, in Buddhism, in all Luciferic concepts, an evolution of humanity to deification, homo lumos. Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, speaks about it in Roswell when he promotes remote viewing to the hundreds and hundreds of individuals that were there. All the remote viewers are into that concept because they're getting data from the Akashic records, the collective unconscious, the field of energy that is around the globe. You know, they're tapping into what they feel, an energy. Something's alive. It's a living conscious universe. And they are correct. They are correct, and they have real experiences. Out-of-the-body experiences. Presence coming up in them. Communicating out into the ether, the ether, the usual aspect, or the same has. And aging is wrong, and they're going to tell you. Fallen spirits by nature and by will never tell. And can be greatly for discernment on God's spirit. The New Age has a couple million committed to the New Age worldwide. A vast movement of remote viewers and the New Agers into astral projection and entities and the ufologists, you know, engaging. You know, I went to Roswell twice and met people that were commissioned by the aliens to bring the message to the world. They're evangelists. They're on fire as they're listening to these entities. And so I think it's time to scream a little bit about what is occurring because we're seeing vast deception. And without encounter, they go, with silence from our side, they are. It's like aiding and we abet that side. We give rein. If I don't have the armor of God on, I give room to the enemy. If I don't have the shield of faith up, how do I extinguish the flaming arrows, those involuntary feelings and thoughts that are shot by a real entity? They're just floating around. I don't think we understand the kind of accuracy and plotting and planning and how real all this is when they're sending that. And you know what spiritual warfare like that can do to you? You know what one flaming arrow, a lie that gets lodged in, you think it's your own thoughts, and you're like, and you go for that. Until the Spirit of God reveals, that is not the Word of God or truth, and that gets broken and replaced by the Word of God and brings you a freedom. So oppression comes to us at times. Attack comes to us at times. Sometimes as believers, we let the sun go down on anger, on fear, on other areas of the flesh. As soon as we put out that flesh and leave it out there long enough, you know, the enemy, you know, whether he's helped us, tempt us to bring it out, he wants to land out here. He wants to bring attachment to areas and hold us there. A topon, a doorway, a legal right, the laws of engagement. It's all about these laws of engagement. There would be no fall of the human race if we would have stepped back and say, God did say, like Jesus. The last Adam, Matthew 24, what did he do? He just quoted the book of Deuteronomy three times. And he completely shut out the fallen cherub. Completely shut him out. Though he went waiting for a more opportune time, right? Because Jesus just quoted the word of God and stood on it. Whereas in the beginning, we did not. You know, we chucked the Word of God because of this marring sense of, you know, what we're being fed, and we grabbed an alternative. You can't do one without the other. You can't grab the alternative without releasing the other. It's the same thing in getting saved. That's what repentance, metanoia, is turning around, you know, releasing the darkness, the sin, and all that junk, and turning around to embrace truth. You will, and you probably already know this, that the dark side operates the same way the kingdom of God does. In its promotion of doctrine and its spiritual, engagements, it all works the same way and needs the same entrance, needs the laws of engagement, needs someone to say yes or somebody to say yes for you. In other words, taking a little baby, having conception rituals and preconception rituals, and eventually dissociating the child and beginning to split the personality into parts. A demonic technology learned by the Germans along, the Nazis. A technology that came over and began to do something to hundreds and then thousands and then millions. A secular psychiatrist, Colin Ross, estimates 10 million. I've been saying 4 or 5 million. Holly Hector said in early 90s, 2.5 million diagnosed cases, satanic ritual abuse, which involves the splitting of the human soul to incapacitate will, all about control, transmuting the human construct for one reason and one reason only. Not just sex parties at a satanic orgy, but the creation of a super being. They've been looking how to create the moon child, how to create the Nephilim, how to get the human being that would be powerful spiritually and raise up. So if you've been working with satanic ritual abuse, there is clearly the one side and the victimization and the hurting and all the things you see. But the more you go into it and the more you deal with what's in there, because when they split off one personality and the concept of programming, which is the imposition of a will into raw human personality, meaning that they've already bent the will this way so that when they conjure demons and put it on the will, it's all empowered to move one direction. And then when they put them down and when they're triggered, they come up and the demon manifestation on top of programming. Listen, when you say, I am fully committed to the Lord, and you step out in strong obedience, the Spirit of God can use you like crazy. Psalm 81:10, open wide your life, your mouth, and I will fill it. That's part of what we do as a believer. We want to yield everything. We want to, Romans 12, we want to, be a living sacrifice and offer us everything. No more patterns of the world, but we want transformation by the Spirit of God of our minds and hearts so we can see the will of God. The other side operates and understands that concept. So we read in Timothy about how Satan has taken some captive to do his will. There's millions of New Agers in America captive. There's many others. You can go over the lists of Druids and Wiccan and you can go over the different denominations of Satanism, and you can go over the 30,000 different cults, the old Moonies, the Way International Divine Light Mission. You can go over the Hinduism, the Buddhism, all the stuff. Oz Guinness in the book Dust of Death talked about the encircling eye, as we've mentioned before. Going into a big safari, they build a big fire deep into the jungle, and the fires, are really bright and keep everybody warm, and all the wild animals are way back. But as the fires go down and down and down, guess what happens? The safari people, they begin to look out, and all of a sudden they see all around them eyes getting closer and closer. The more the fire goes down, the closer the eyes come in. That's the animals coming in, the beasts coming in, because the fires have gone down. Now, he attributes Western Christendom, the fires have gone down and down and down, and there's encircling eyes. Now, that was the 60s. We're way past that. They're feeding everywhere. even inside churches. And see, I sat in a big church in California years ago, and the minister, well-known public TV kind of a guy, and a big old charismatic church, big round building down there in Disneyland area. And I remember him saying, "Don't worry about Satan, the bloodline's right here. It can't bother you. Don't even think about Satan, the bloodline's right here. You can't get past the bloodline." How did he walk into a room where Jesus was and enter into Judas? How did he get into that room and all of a sudden, you know, he's asking, the disciples didn't know, "What do we know in this room? You barely even know me. You're already starting to wonder." But what else is in this room? You know, two or three gather in Jesus' name, what happens? There is a king in this room, okay? We know the Spirit of God, greater Megdala is he who is inside of us and he who's in the world, right? Angels? Could it be that there's the opposition? In some places, the opposition who's manifest in individuals committed to the Luciferic agenda, they even come to the meetings to observe, to see. Pretty interesting. Most churches that we've been to and most churches that we've had to go to, massive infiltration. This has been going on for 35, 40 years now in a physical sense of coming to churches and bringing people in that are masqueraded. Maybe they don't even consciously know it, but there is infiltration and going into the church, and there is an agenda to bring great harm to the body of Christ, to challenge the audacity of Satan himself to come to the Son of God, Matthew 4, to challenge him, to try to recruit Jesus on his side, to quote Scripture to the Son of God. You know, I've come to say, people said, "Well, Satan, you know, he's always going to twist Scripture and lie." I don't believe he can quote it correctly anyway. Only the Spirit of God can bring and quote the Word of God through us correctly. It's his work. How does a fallen cherub, where there's no truth in him, where his whole being is eternally fixed in violent hostility towards God and anything that is God's, how does that nature take the Word of God and quote it correctly? I don't think a demon can quote it correctly. I think that they not only don't have the ability to, but of course they have the will to deceive. You ever see any New Age writings that are written with the Word of God in it? Obvious. Luciferians use it. All kinds of people use it. Course in Miracles use it. All kinds of places use the Word of God, but you're going to find that finite fallen spirits will always bring a twisting. And their two main goals is to de-deify Christ, to take away his deity, which then strips any actions of his saviorhood. So whether it's remote viewers, New Agers, whether it is the Luciferians themselves, whether it's Albert Pike and the Masons, across the board, the deity of Christ stripped. There is no power in a fake, de-deified, pocket-sized Jesus. There is no saviorhood there. So I tell the New Agers and I tell the remote viewers and I tell the, you know, many of the others, and they talk about, "Well, I believe in Jesus." I said, "No, you don't." "Well, I believe in Jesus. I go to a Unity church and I believe in Jesus." "No, you don't. Tell me about you." You ever see a New Ager talk about Jesus and all what Jesus is doing for them? No. They have no testimony. No testimony of the entrance of Christ, the power of forgiveness, the living presence of God in their life. No love for Jesus. You see them singing worship songs to Jesus? They don't have the spirit of adoption. They don't know Jesus. When you know Jesus and the Spirit of God inside of you, there is a relationship. There is a reality. I can tell you stories and stories. And you probably heard, you know, when I got saved 35 years ago, coming out of Buddhism and leaving my body and in occultism and all the stuff that we are into, you know, one man came into our party filled with the Spirit of God. And he preached the gospel to everybody in the room. He just laid it out on everybody. I ran from him. I hid from him. He was crazy. And I ran for the bathroom, and three guys of mine, they locked me out of my, the bathroom. And so I ran on the back porch, and the man shows up on the back porch later on. Because I'm back there laughing, saying, oh, go ahead and get Frank. Go ahead and get John. I'm laughing, as this guy's preaching Jesus. Oh, this Jesus freak is in the room. That's how I looked at it. Because I was already spiritual. I was a Buddhist. I was in a temple for years. I knew how to leave my body. I was trying to do what this master told me, to engage these masters. I was wanting to get a hold of the masters so they can come in and give me power so I could fight better in martial arts. And when he opened the door, it was like all I knew. The only thing I knew is as a 19-year-old concerning religion or anything, because I wasn't raised in church. The only thing I knew was like the movie Moses, with Charlton Heston, and that's all I can think of when this guy walked out. He's like Moses coming out. Where's his staff? Because there was so much power. It's like there was something coming. I knew spiritual stuff. I knew power. I knew stuff. Had a lot of experiences. Not one of it. Not even my little buddy Buddha. I had a little Buddha buddy down here, We burn incense. I had a Buddha. I was into Buddha. Buddha was a nice guy. Buddha's dead. He never talked. He was dead a long, long time ago. And nothing that he taught and nothing that I learned and nothing that I engaged led me to God. I didn't know God. I believe there was a God. But when this guy walked in manifesting the presence and power of God, I was afraid of God. Because the sin nature is an operative, almost a living presence in us. Romans 8. Hostile to God. Doesn't want to submit. The God of this age blinds the minds of talk about mind control. The word has the idea of layering the mind, blanketing the mind, so you cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the icon, the image, the exact visible of the invisible God. But Spirit of God, through one individual coming to a party brave enough, he had guts. And when he came to me then when he started talking to me, because I couldn't even look into his, I wouldn't even look in his face. I was like so nervous and so completely undone. So I said, I'm leaving. I left my apartment and I drove home to my mom and dad's and said, I'm staying here tonight. I'm getting away from that. And the Spirit of God, I didn't get away from that because it was just lodged into me. Whatever he said lodged into me. And I, for hours, I even fought and pounded my head and said, God, leave me alone. I was glad that he didn't. If he would have, I wouldn't be here today. He didn't leave me alone. And this, I know now the Spirit of God summons. The Spirit of God convicts and convinces sin, righteousness, and judgment. I laid there in my bed. Jesus, this guy, he's really great. This is awesome. My life is messed up and crazy and dirty. And I kept on putting this together. I didn't know the Spirit of God was helping convince me. And then in the middle of that night, I turned out of my bed. Again, you got to understand, the rock and roller, Black Sabbath, Lucifer's friend, listening Buddhist was lying there on this bed fighting, mad at the guy that ruined my party, the drug party that was going on at the house. Because we were listening to Golden Earring from, Radar Love from Golden Earring. It was pounding the walls in 1975. Didn't know what the song was. We just liked the music. So I rolled out of bed and I said, Jesus, I don't know anything and everything about you. But what they did say and what I've heard is that you are the Savior and that you love me and that you will come into my life and that you will give me your power and that you will forgive me and that you will change me. So I don't care what anybody thinks any longer. Come into my life and do this. Laws of engagement. If you believe, whoever believes, confess Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. I was in a basement where there were big posters of demons coming out of cauldrons. I was in a basement where there were hits of acid still stuck in thick orange shag carpeting that I had from the 60s. There was lava lamps, believe it or not, in that room. Strobe lights in that room. Parties galore that went down in that room. And there was a battle in that room. Because when we talk about the infinite nature of God, the immortal nature of God, the indestructible nature of God, when we talk about the infinite nature of God, we forget the relational aspect. God so loved this individual, it astounds me that he would give up, you know, the Son of God on the cross. I didn't know anything about Isaiah 700 years prior, talking about Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, bruised, beaten, and battered. The New Agers have no concept of the power wielded at the cross. Many of you, most of you probably do. And so even though we're going to get into a lot of the dark side of stuff and tell you and be a screamer tonight. I like that new terminology. We are screamers. But I tell you one thing. Scream about it and then even do more, you know, action. You know, and we're going to talk about that the second half in the area of the power of prayer and the power of evangelism. I mean, what does work? Is it just a matter of becoming political? I mean, even after this last weekend, I said, I don't care. I'm going to go. I don't know. Whatever it takes, I'm going to engage. I'm going to have to get involved. I don't care if it's just going down to the Democratic Center, the Republicans, you know, the centers or whatever else, and say, let's just start massive prayer meetings. You know, I don't know if we've forgotten how fierce prayer can be. John Knox, the wicked queen of Scotland, evil and utterly wicked. She feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. It's beyond the politics, but it is true that political ideology is shaped by spiritual inspiration. Behind all political ideology, there is spiritual inspiration. You can ask the Germans about the Nazis. There is no Nazi ideology without the spirit that guided that ideology, that guided the laws, that guided the vision for military enforcement of the political ideology that was inspired by the spirits in individuals who despised Christ and wanted something different, like Hitler and Himmler and the rest. And the deception led to vast destruction. There's a little good little book, if you ever want to get it, it's called Hitler and the New Age by Bob Rosio. And he gives this picture of what occurred in pre-Nazi Germany concerning the spiritism, mediums, talkers of to the dead, you know, readers of the dead, seers of the dead, they were all over Germany. The New Age movement, cloaked in a kind of occultism, spiritism, secret societies developed, and out of that spiritual impetus and inspiration came ideology. Through individuals who were convinced by the spiritual ideology or the spiritual revelations to reject the Word of God, and to embrace, they didn't call it Luciferic doctrine, but that's what it was. And they embraced it. Why do you think they wanted to create God-men soldiers? Levensborn, the birthing genetic centers to take and go back to Aryan blood that may have been generational Nephilim blood, because that blood was said to have powers in it. Telekinesis, clairvoyance, abilities, superhuman strength. So if we can weed everything out and go back, that's why satanic ritually abused people will talk about the subpersonalities, will talk about purifying their blood. It goes back to the Aryan concept. So the Germans were saying, let's create a master race of thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of soldiers who can enforce a third, what's a Third Reich? But a counterfeit to the millennium. A 1,000-year rule and reign under deep paganism with the spiritual energy and passion to annihilate every Jew in the world and to annihilate Israel as a whole. Who has that passion? Who knows that the living Christ visibly will come and touch down right there in Jerusalem? Who knows that there's going to be a worldwide rule of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, that ends all war and all rape and all sin and all death and everything else when he returns? Who knows this? So I go back to the thing because we're about 3 minutes into shutting for a few moments. Revelation 19:19. How does the Antichrist know to be on the field with the largest spiritually induced, supernaturally charged military system in human history, How does he know to be on the field? How does he know the timing? When the visible descent, the apocalypse of Jesu Christi. How does he know? How did he know when Jesus was going to be born the first time? Revelation 12, the dragon, the huge dragon, stood waiting for the child to be born so that he might devour the child. I will tell you this and leave you this turn for the break's sake. I believe that Satan knows that biblical prophecy is infallible and accurate, and that he sees that as strategy, and he tries to preempt biblical prophecy, either negating the recipients, somehow trying to stop the issue. Revelation 19:19 is the third attempt with all of his strategy, the pinnacle of his power. It's the third attempt to annihilate God. Think about it. The audacity of the dark side. In the heavenlies, there was an attempt. When Christ, God in human flesh, came, there was no question the attempt. Armageddon and the political culture now and the political and military culture now and the spiritual stuff you're seeing now is all precursors to what is the ultimate goal. It's not just Satan getting into a temple saying, "I'm God. Hey, everybody, I'm God." That's not the end game. He has to stop Jesus Christ from returning, because that includes the binding of Satan for 1,000 years, the end of human history as a fallen segment of human history, and the beginning of the millennium, and the visible reign of the living Christ on earth. Revelation 19:19 is about an attack. You read that scripture? They didn't come to fight each other like the old movie show. They gathered together for one reason: to make war on the rider of the white horse. You're here because the precursors, the feeling in the air, the globalism, the super soldier issue, is all lending itself to that process. Amen? Father, bless everybody right now, and we thank you again for this time. We just take this break with these considerations. We pray again right now, Lord Jesus, simply saying we rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just command against everything demonic and anything that would come to harm anyone, to impair anyone, to stop anyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you, get out of this room, get out of this place, release individuals. We pray for the Spirit of God to open our hearts and minds, and for you to guard and let this place be manifest with the kingdom of God, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you are glorified, that individuals are helped and healed and strengthened. Anybody needing deliverance, God, that would occur in this time, that anybody that is not saved, that does not know the living Christ, would even be saved today. Empower, bless, and guide us. And thank you for this break time. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Let's take a 5-minute break.